From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 9 and verse 19. Bring him unto me. Despairingly, the poor disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one when the parent in faith obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, Bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one receipt for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. Oh, for more agonizing prayer on their behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into a world of sin. In the days of their youth we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit which will neither pray aright nor hear the voice of God in the soul. But Jesus still commands, Bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin and foam with enmity against God. Then, when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, Bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers His people to be driven into a corner, that they may experimentally know how necessary He is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength, and this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our morning's need may be, let it, like a strong current, bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to Him while He waits to meet us.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Dr. Cairns continues this series in the Law of God as he brings another portion of a message called Loving Ourselves. The emphasis upon self-esteem in our society tends to produce self-centeredness and self-indulgence rather than a scriptural self-love. Disregard for God produces a wrong view of self, resulting in ungodly actions and attitudes. Only an understanding of God's love for sinners can produce a proper regard for self. Believers are to see themselves as God sees them and to walk in humility before Him. To ignore this is to fall into hopelessness and despair. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of this message called Loving Ourselves.
Say to you young people, you would need to take very careful note of what I'm saying. Some of you very carelessly and thoughtlessly inflict needless pain on parents whom in your heart you respect and love and know to be men and women of God. And yet in your selfish, sinful, wicked rebellion, you cause them this hurt and this heartache that drives them to the edge of the abyss. And many other people, including young people, sometimes for what appear to adults to be the most inadequate of reasons. You don't measure up to your brother or your sister. You don't measure up to your classmate. You don't have this talent. You don't look as good as she looks or play as good as he plays or whatever. And suddenly out of the feeling of abject failure there comes a feeling of utter personal worthlessness. The result is often total despair. Focusing on themselves, underline those words. Focusing on themselves, such people can see no ray of light to pierce their darkness. Some of them develop a hatred of their bodies, and they either feed them to death or starve them to death. Some of them develop a hatred of their circumstances, and they live in bitterness against God. And most other people, some of them hate their very lives, and bereft of hope they plunge blindly into the abyss of suicide. Now this is sin. Each and every step in it is sin. God commands us to love ourselves, not destroy ourselves, not loathe ourselves, not utterly incapacitate ourselves. He commands us to love ourselves in the glow of His love for us and our love for Him. Let me make this clear to you. Lawless self-destruction, be it the destruction of suicide or any of the steps that lead ultimately to it that I have described tonight, lawless self-destruction betrays not only a lack of love for self, but a lack of trust in God and a lack of love for the Lord. And that's the problem. Of course, any fool can outline a problem. But what's the answer? What is the answer? Let me start off with a negative statement. The answer is certainly not to be found in any of the psychological theories that form the basis of the various positive self-image techniques that are so popular and prevalent today. These techniques typically set your mind the task of being positive about yourself, about your abilities, about your worth, about your capacity for getting on top of your circumstances. Very often their message is that you must learn to assert yourself. And they do all this without any reference whatsoever to loving God as your Creator and as your Redeemer in Christ. They teach you self-reliance. They try to bolster that feeling of self-reliance by comparing you to other people who may motivate you to a better acceptance of yourself as you are. Now, what's wrong with these things? Simply this. They replace one faulty view of yourself with another. Remember, all true love for self flows out of love for God, which means it flows from knowing God in Christ as your Savior. I'm not going to prove that. I did that last Sabbath evening. All true love for self ultimately flows out of a knowledge of God in Christ as your Savior and Redeemer. The great need of the millions who are flocking to the psychologists and to the therapists is to know Christ. That's their great need. That's a need that runs deeper than anything any therapist without Christ can know. The answer is more wonderful than any worldly psychologist can ever supply. You remember the words of the hymn, at the cross, where I first saw the light. You ever think of those words? How up to date they are? How absolutely dead on their aim is? People bound in the darkness. Then there are millions, they're flocking to therapists who are in even greater darkness. And if the light that is in them be darkness, how great is that darkness when all the time they need to get to the cross and there they'll see the light? Bless God, that's always his answer. Get to the cross and see the light. That's their need. That's your need tonight. Without God or without Christ, that's your need. And as soon as you've come to Christ as a Christian, loved by God and loving God, a true regard for yourself will come from grasping the fullness of his gospel's description of you, of what you are and what you have in Christ. Now, I've been a long time getting to the thrust of this, and I've taken that time deliberately. I want you to understand what I'm saying now. You've got first to be saved. And once you're saved, and this is what's missing in our churches today, this is what's missing for so many of the Christian people of America today. They come to Christ and then they're being fed in the husks of chewed over psychology. When they need them to get into the gospel, and they need to understand what God in the gospel says about his people, understanding he is true, he cannot lie. And if God says one thing and anything or anybody else says another thing, then the other is the liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's see how the Word of God treats this subject. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have the apostle writing to a people who, in modern terms, let me use the psychobabble of the day, or should I say the political correctness of the day, these would be a challenged people. Look at them. Verse 1. They are strangers, and they are scattered abroad in many places where they didn't belong. Now stop for a minute. It's easy, just because words appear in the Bible, to read over them and imagine that they really don't describe real flesh and blood people. These are not cardboard characters or plastic people. These are real flesh and blood characters. They have been uprooted from their homeland. The modern world would call them possibly refugees. They've lost all they ever lived for in the world. They've bidden farewell to the scenes of youth and every happy memory. They're alienated from loved ones. Some of them separated from family, never to meet them again this side of eternity. They're strangers and they're scattered abroad. Not quite the best ingredients for happiness. Add to that, in verse 6, they are in heaviness through manifold temptations or manifold trials. The word heaviness has the connotation of deep oppression and distress of mind. They are in heaviness. Could you blame them? Would you be in heaviness if some great Caesar uprooted you from home, scattered you where you didn't know anybody, you had no roots and you had no opportunities, you were the offscouring of all flesh, and then he began to pour persecution upon persecution upon you? Would you be in heaviness? If you'd lost a father or a mother or a son or a daughter and you'd no hope of ever finding them again, would you be in heaviness? Sure you would. And they were. They were just ordinary people. But yet, they didn't need a psychologist. And they didn't need a therapist. And they didn't need some self-esteem conference. They were rejoicing. Now, that's a contradiction in terms, as far as the world's concerned. How do you rejoice when you're in that situation? How do you rejoice? Notice the first word of verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. What was it that they rejoiced in? What was it that brought joy to their hearts? Not their circumstances. They were as extreme as could be. But it was the gospel. Wherein refers to that salvation described from verse 2 to verse 5. Here's why they were rejoicing. We're strangers scattered abroad. The Romans hate us, but we are elect of God. We're elect of God. You know, that's why I can never understand these Christians. And especially these preachers. God forgive them for their almost blasphemous ignorance. Who will not allow God to be sovereign to elect his people. I can't understand that little mindset that flies in the face of Scripture. And I'll tell you why. Not just because the Bible teaches it, but because when your back is against the wall, and when all the props are kicked away, it is a joy to know God chose me in Christ before the beginning of time. He predestinated me. I'm not an afterthought with God. I'm not a blip or an accident on the screen of the world's affairs. I am the object of God's eternal love in which he chose me. He predestinated me. He set about me the horizons of his eternal purpose. There's not a demon in hell can change it. What a joy that is. They rejoiced in that. They rejoiced that God the Holy Spirit had regenerated them. They rejoiced that Christ has shed his precious blood for them and that it had been applied to their heart. They rejoiced that God had grace for them and peace even in the midst of such circumstances.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.